welcome to the Praying Wife podcast. I am your host, Corinne Cash. And as always, I'm so blessed and excited to be here with you today for another episode. Today, as you guys know, if you've been following us, we just wrapped up our first virtual empowerment conference, and it was so amazing. I do hope that you had a chance to tune in while we were live. If not, you can always go back on our Facebook page or even on our YouTube page and watch the entire conference. But for this episode, I just wanted to replay the portion of the conference where I spoke. I really believe that it will be a blessing to you. So just in case you didn't get a chance to hear it, here is Planted, Not Buried. It's time for you to grow from our conference. Be blessed. Let us talk about how we can grow into the women that God has called us to be. Now, when we talk about growth, whether we're dealing with seeds and plants or our own bodies, if anything wants to grow, that thing must be fed. The seed must be watered. The body craves food. And if I'm being honest, I'm craving a little bit of food right now. My husband is always craving food, right? My goodness, my children seem to crave food hourly. Every time I feed them, I feel like I turn around and they're hungry again. But in the same way, if we want to grow spiritually, we must understand that we have a spirit. And how do we know that we have a spirit? Well, John 4:24 says that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And in Genesis 2:7, it tells us that the Lord God, who we just said was in spirit, who is a spirit, formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now pause there. Remember that God is all spirit. So when he breathes spirit. And this spirit became the breath of life that entered man, and man became a living soul. So here we are, body, soul, and spirit. And that spirit must be fed. And it's easy to feed our bodies, right? It's what we do multiple times a day, some more than others, because the signs that the body is hungry are very visible. The body is very loud when it's hungry. Right? But the signs that our spirit may be weak are even more detrimental. And most times we don't even associate the two. And here's some help. When you're feeling depressed, your spirit is hungry. When you feel confused and lost, your spirit is hungry. When you find yourself angry for no apparent reason, you're combative, you're defensive, you're worried, you're fearful, your spirit is hungry. And the only thing that satisfies the craving of the spirit inside you is the presence and the word of the same God that put it in you. And his name is Yahweh, the all-knowing, all-powerful God who is the sustainer of all things. And this is why Jesus said to Satan when he was being tempted, Matthew 4:4, he said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Bread feeds our body, but the word that comes from God feeds your spirit. And this is what sustains you. So then how do we feed our spirit so that we can grow in God? Now, I'm going to give you 7 points to take with you. I like the number 7. I'm sorry. Numbers have a huge significance, if you didn't know, in God. And God was very purposeful with numbers. And one day in a Praying Wife session, we'll do a study on numbers. But the number 7 I love because it represents perfection and completion and divine fullness. So we're going to go with 7. Okay. And these are in no order of importance. They're all equally as important. So let's start. Number 1, obedience. We cannot see what God wants us to see until we do what God calls us to do. If we don't do what God is calling us to do, we'll never get where God wants us to go. Now, in 1 Samuel, Samuel tells King Saul, it's better to be obedient to God than to offer him sacrifices. We know the term to obey is better than sacrifice. And sometimes through our disobedience, that sacrifice costs us. It's if God is going to talk to us, and he does through his spirit multiple times a day, then we have to stop and listen. and not only listen, but to respond. In James 1 and 22, it says, be not only hearers of the word, but doers, else ye deceive yourself. So we've been getting good word all day, but if we leave there, if it ends at just hearing and saying the message was good, we have deceived ourselves. But we have to then move to doing what the word has called us to do, doing what God is calling us to do. So don't just know what to do, but do what you're supposed to do. Amen. In the story of Ruth and Naomi, Ruth's obedience to her mother-in-law, Naomi, put her in a position to get them both out of where they were. They were in poverty. Don't forget, Naomi had lost her sons, her husband, her sense of security, all of that. She was going back. She had nothing. But because of Ruth's obedience, my God, your obedience is tied into someone else. Because of Ruth's obedience, both her happiness, her and Naomi, it was tied up in that. And so they now, and in addition to that, if we remember, Ruth was also in the lineage of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Obedience. God loves obedience, not just because, or not because he's a dictator who wants to tell you what to do. Not at all. He does it because he loves you. He wants you to obey. And when we obey, it shows God that we trust in him, that we're not just relying on our bodies or our soul, our minds and our emotions to guide us, but that we truly trust that he knows what's best for us and he loves us. So we must be obedient to the word of God. Number two, diligence. We must be women of diligence. The dictionary defines diligence as careful and persistent work or effort. Ladies, we have to put in the work. As we read about the Proverbs 31 woman, she was above all diligent. It says that she selects wool and flax. She works eagerly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, right? She brings her food from afar. She considers a field and she buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Her trading is profitable. Her lamp doesn't go out at night. She watches over the affairs of her household and she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. So we see that she, as we are all called to be, is actively engaged with work. She's diligent. She's making choices. She's providing for her household. She had business acumen, right? She had the wisdom to think first. It says she considered the field. She thought, she put actual thought into what it is. And then she planted a vineyard. She sustained, and she knows, and we know when you plant a vineyard, it's not just for now, but now she's securing the future for generations. She's committed to her work, even to the extent of working late. It said her lamp doesn't go out at night. Sometimes it's going to call for late nights. Sometimes it's going to call for early mornings. Sometimes it's us getting on our knees in our prayer closets at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., whatever it is where God is calling us. But if we're going to be successful in whatever area God has called us to, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in business, whether you are a stay-at-home mom, whether it's in education, wherever God has planted you, you must be diligent, persistent with your work, wise in decision-making, and managing the resources that you have wisely. We must be women of diligence. Number three, we have to grow in wisdom and in knowledge. And the Bible tells us that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The Bible also tells us Solomon grew in wisdom. Daniel grew in knowledge. If they could grow in knowledge and wisdom, so can and so should we. And knowledge, ladies, is easy to gain. You can gain knowledge from almost anywhere. Get the training, read books, attend seminars just like this one. If you want to become a chef, start reading some cookbooks, watching some chef shows, hone your crafts and your trade. You want to be more spiritually aware and to go to a higher level in him, start reading and immersing yourself in his word. Start going through different studies. If you want to be a musician, a photographer, a life coach, whatever you have a passion for, get knowledge in that area. These days, there are so many free and online resources to use. Always remember, you are never too old to learn something new. But when you get the knowledge, seek beyond just knowing to then understand it. And when you understand what it is, Then wisdom comes when you apply what you understand from what you know. Okay, so knowledge is very important, but we have to go beyond just knowing. I know because I read it in a book, but do I understand it? And a lot of times in our group, we always go over, and I always encourage our women, and I say, don't just read the Word of God to read it. Don't just do it to check it off, to say, I read my Bible today, to check off your Bible plan. But do you understand what God is saying in that scripture? Are you immersing yourself in it? Are you meditating on it? To meditate is not just to read and close the book. No, no, no. To meditate is regurgitating that. And all day long, you're thinking of that scripture and you're asking God, reveal unto me what this is meaning for my life in this time, in this moment, in this season. He wants us to go beyond knowledge to truly understanding what it says. And then when you understand it, are you going to do what it says? Are you going to apply the principles to your life? When it says it's better to give than to receive, when God says, give unto me, test me in this and see if I will not open up the storehouses when you give, do you do that? Are we doing what God has called us to do? We know what the word says. We have a level of understanding, but where is the wisdom? We must be women of wisdom, where we apply what we understand from what we know. So be a woman of wisdom and knowledge. Number four, work the gifts that you have been given. Every single one of us has been given a gift. Do not let anyone, don't let your friends, your mommy, your poppy, your whoever convince you that you don't have a gift. Each of us, we have a natural ability to do something. And then on top of that, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, he gives you spiritual gifts. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs that our gifts will make room for you. So what are those things that you're passionate about? What can you do that seems difficult for others, but it comes naturally to you? What are those things people commend you for and say that you're good at? These are where you can find your gifts. The answer to these questions will help you to seek out what those gifts are, those natural abilities. And when you find out what your gifts are, what God has planted you with, what God has given you, even your spiritual gifts, don't just sit on it. Use it. God has equipped us. The word says that I have already given you everything you need to live a godly life. He has already equipped us. What are we doing with that? What are you doing with it? So use the gifts. Work with what you have. Don't hide your gifts under a bushel. Don't bury it like the wicked servant. But use your gifts to propel you into destiny, to open doors for you. Number five, get unstuck and press ahead. Now, this is a big one. You cannot move forward to your future if you are mentally bound to the failures and stuck in the pain of your past. You have to let it go. If you're going to grow into the mature tree planted by the trees of water, you have to grow past the hurt. In the video, we showed the seed coming through the soil. You have to break free from that. You have to get yourself up out of that situation, past the hurt, past the failures, past the disappointment of the fallen leaves and the fallen branches along the way. Yes, they hurt you. Yes, they disappointed you. Yes, he left you. Yes, she talked about you. But listen to me, women of God, you are here and still standing strong, and there is more for you. But you cannot access what God has for you here if you're still stuck over there. Give all of those feelings of torment and anger and pain to the Father so that you can focus your eyes on Jesus. And Dr. Helger spoke earlier, and there was a book there, and we're going to put it up again as we go through. Forgiveness is not an option, because I know a lot of us are still struggling with this area. Forgiveness. And I want you to understand that when you're stuck in forgiveness, it's not just about I'm holding on to this because they did this for me, but it is actually blocking you from moving forward. It's stopping you from getting to your destiny. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than that little argument you're holding on to. It's bigger than whatever they did to you. It is stopping and blocking and hindering you from moving forward. And God does not want us to even look back, but keep pushing forward. He says when we come to him and ask him for forgiveness, what does he do? He throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. It's separated as far as the east is from the west. You can't even find it. We have to get to a place where we live our lives in freedom, not bound by unforgiveness, bound by these pains, these hurts of what people talked and said about us before. And now we're starting to believe that. God is saying, no, 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 no. Paul says in Philippians, forgetting about what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I love when I saw the word straining because it's not easy. Let's be honest. I'm not saying this is something that's, you know, all right, there we go. I've done it. It's a strain, but it's necessary. It's a pulling, but it's necessary. He says he strains toward what is ahead and he presses toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ. And even Jesus, now let's see if everybody knows, but even Jesus left us simple instructions that often get overlooked. We all know the shortest verse in the Bible, right? I'm sure if I asked what's the shortest verse in the Bible, everybody would raise their hands and say, Jesus wept, John 11:35. And if you didn't know it, now you know it. But one of the second shortest verses in the Bible, and most of us probably don't even know this, is found in Luke 17:32. And it was Jesus actually talking. And you know what he said? He simply said three words. Remember Lot's wife. It's the only woman in the Bible. Jesus was like, don't forget this lady. Remember Lot's wife. Now, who is Lot's wife? If we remember Lot's wife, we'll also remember that she was about to move into a new season in her life, about to flee from the wickedness and really just the destruction of her people, of everything that she knew. And she was instructed not to turn back. But in the midst of the chaos, in the familiarity of what was behind her, in the bounds of her past, she looked back and she became stuck where she was. And she turned to a pillar of salt and she did not move forward. God is calling us to get unstuck from the past. He wants us to turn our eyes to where he has for us. And it's so unfortunate because this issue of unforgiveness plagues us. And all of us at one point in our lives, if we took a second and thought about it, we had to deal with a situation where we had to forgive. Some of us may be here today and you're still battling with forgiveness. But God is saying, my child, there is bigger. There is more. This is hindering you. Let it go and experience freedom. Experience my joy. Experience my love. Experience all that I have for you. But you cannot get it when you're still stuck, when you're still holding on to those scars. God says, let it go. Let it go. He is a God of vengeance. Let it go. They don't need to know what you did. Let it go. God is calling for us to let these things go. Number six, remember who you are. Here at The Praying Wife, we have a motto, and it says, you are beautiful, you are powerful. I know my girls are repeating this now. You are made in the image of God, and you are loved. Because it is so important to remember who you are, what you are, and where you came from. You are a child of God. As you think about how do I cultivate my life, it's a mindset. The Bible is calling us to transform the way we think. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It starts here. If your mind is not transformed, you cannot get to where God wants you to go. And how are we transforming our minds? Remembering first whose we are and who we are in Christ. You are not a mistake. You're not a failure. You are not unintentional. You are as beautiful as God purposed and designed and called you to be. You were designed with intentionality and purpose. And in Psalms, it tells us that, it says, David says, you created me. You created my inmost being. He said, you, oh God, you create my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. He knits us together. And Jesus tells us in Matthew that the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He knows us all by name. Each and every one of us made unique and special. And Paul even tells us in Philippians what? We can do all things through Christ. So not only are we loved, not only are we beautiful, we're children of God and we can do all things. So if you're stuck in a place where you feel like, I just can't do this, it's too big for me, it's too hard for me. Oh, that's, I can't do that. That's a different area. I don't know. I'm not trained for that. I'm not. Get the training. Do not limit yourself to your current understanding. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Because honestly, if we just relied on what we knew and what we understood, we would never launch out into the deep. We would stay right where we are. And that is exactly what the enemy wants for all of us. He wants to keep us bound. He wants to keep us in the lies that we're not enough. That there's things that we just can't do, that we'll never accomplish anything in life, that whatever happened to our mother is destined to happen to us, or whatever happened to our grandmother, that we have to be stuck. And the devil is a liar. We can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. Do not be afraid to trust in God. Launch out in the deep. Do not let fear grip you and stop you from pursuing that calling. If God is calling you to open that business with confidence. If he is calling you to go back to school, register for those classes. If he's calling you to ministry, submit to his will for your life. He will never leave you. And we have to get this in our mindset. If we think about that scripture, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What does that mean? He is with you right now. He is with you when you're about to take that exam. He is with you as you're in your bed. Wherever you are, he is with you. And where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty, there is freedom, there is joy, there is peace. Everything that we need is wrapped up within him. So if he is within me, then everything that we need relies within ourselves. And so we have to remember that God is a God of intentionality. When he created you, he didn't, you know, made a mistake, right? He didn't say, whoops, didn't mean to make that one. Sure, I'll leave her under. Absolutely not. He had a specific reason and a purpose for you being here, for you being on this earth in 2023 as a mother of those children, as a wife to that husband, as an aunt, sister, whatever it is, wherever you are in life, God has a specific assignment. And I heard Pastor Brooke talk about this. You are an assignment where you are. Where you are planted, and you must remain prayerful about staying where God has you, listening to the voice of the Lord. But do not be hindered. Do not listen to the enemy when he tells you false lies, when he tells you fake promises, when he tells you things that are not right. This is why we must spend time in the Word of God. Because if we are not daily filling our lives and reading and filling and feeding our spirits with the word, then we will listen to every voice we hear. When the enemy tells us you're not enough, we will listen to it, which is why we have to spend, God is calling us to go higher and spend that time understanding who we are. He says, remember who you are. I always love that image of in the Lion King with Mufasa and Simba, when, you know, Mufasa is gone and he's like, Simba, remember who you are. At this point, it's been years and he already left home. And he said, remember who you are. Transform the way that you think, women of God. And remember that you are God. He is your father. And he wants what's best for you. He wants you to prosper in all your ways. So remember who you are and whose you are. And let's go to point number 7. And that's learning to be faithful and grateful right where you are. Remember that if you cannot be trusted with little, He will not give you greater. So we need to take a step back. A lot of times, you know, we ask God, God, I want this. God, I want that. Or, you know, we look around, especially on social media. Sometimes we get so distracted. And I was just telling the girls the other day that I am not a fan of social media, even though this broadcast is coming to you on social media. For the purposes of that, yes. But I try my best not to be on there every day. Why? Because it's a distraction from the enemy. It's a great platform that we can use, yes. But we have to be careful that it doesn't turn into a distraction or a tool that the enemy is using in our lives. And so through social media now, because now we can see what everyone's doing, right? Everyone's posting, everyone's living their best life, everyone's doing this and that. And sometimes if we're not careful, that enters into our minds and we go, but I don't have that. But I've been praying for this, Lord. Why haven't you answered my prayer? What is going on? And we start to have a negative mindset. We start to go to God with complaints. But he's calling us to be gracious. He's like, well, what are you doing with what I've given you already? Have you forgotten the blessings that I've given you already? Have you been faithful with the little that you have? So when the bigger comes, you have the spiritual and you have the physical and mental capacity to appreciate them and handle them with care. Again, if you cannot be trusted with the little, he will not give you the greater. And yes, there are things that we are desiring to have, and there are things that we're asking God for. And those are, God says, be persistent in prayer, yes, but do not forget to thank him for where you are now. You want a bigger or a newer car? Thank God for the little jalopy, we call it, a small broke down car that you do have. If you have to, you know, you're walking to the bus, you're walking every day and you're seeking God for a car, thank him for the legs to walk. Thank God and be appreciative for what you have right now. Because if you don't appreciate where you are now, you won't appreciate where you're going. And so I encourage you, start a gratitude journal. A time ago, and we'll probably do it again, we had a gratitude challenge. Start something, start writing down. That's why Isaiah even talked about writing down the vision. We have to write things down. This feeble human mind of ours will forget. Write down things that you're grateful for every day. And when you wake up, you remember, God, I thank you for this. So even in the midst of your prayers of God, can I, please, we thank you. We add a thank you, God. I may not have this, but God, thank you that I have this. We have to remember to be grateful for where you are, grateful in the calling that you have, grateful even in the work that you're doing right now, even if you are on a job that you despise. Listen to me. Even if you are on a job you despise, even if you are sweeping the floors, whatever you are doing, be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for where you are. God is looking. It says to do everything with excellence, even when the master is not looking. How are we treating our jobs? Are we showing up to work on time? Are we stealing hours? What is our current situation with what we have? How are we treating the things that God has given us? And so we have to learn to be grateful for the small things, grateful for the medium things, grateful for the large things and the blessings in your life. And gratitude will open up your mind to be able to receive from God, to be able to see things in a different perspective. Because when you're grateful now, you're approaching it with a whole new mindset. Now you're not in a complaining mind, but now you're in a, wow, I'm so thankful for this. And now any little thing to you is like, this is amazing. And God wants us to be there. He wants us to be able to uncover opportunities that you didn't see before. And it positions your heart. Gratitude, it positions your heart to be closer to God. So as a recap, because I purposed in my heart, I was not going to be long. But as we're cultivating our lives, ladies, as we're growing in God, remember that we have to be obedient, not just listening. I'm so grateful for every speaker. I'm so grateful how God is speaking to each and every one of us. But when we leave this broadcast, what are you going to do with what you heard? We have to move from just listening. We have to make sure that we are doing what God has called us to do. A lot of us in here, you know, God told you to write that book a year ago, 2 years ago. He told you to start that jewelry business 4 years ago. He's already given us instructions. Right. And a lot of times we're still going and asking him, well, what do you want me to do next? And he's like, I want you to do what I already told you to do. So we have to be obedient. Be obedient. When you spend that time and you open up the Word of God, be obedient. Always leave your Bible study sessions with a, this is a challenge. This is what I'm going to do today. Based on what God has said to me during my scripture time, during my time of intercession, this is what I'm hearing from God. This is what I'm going to do. This is what God instructed me to do. This is how I'm going to do it today. Be intentional. We have to be intentional about this. The only way you can cultivate your life is to be intentional about the things of God, to be intentional about what it is that you're going to do and what you're going to pursue. And it starts with being obedient. Reminder to be diligent. As we talked about the Proverbs 31 woman, and she's getting up early and making sure that the affairs of her household are in order. And she's going to bed late, thinking and pondering and making sure that she's making wise decisions. And she doesn't have idle hands. She's not just sitting around lunging, just waiting for things to happen. She is diligent in what she's doing. And make sure we grow in knowledge and wisdom. Again, I thanked everybody for coming here, but make sure this is not the only thing you're using to feed your spirit. Make sure you're a part of a Bible-believing church. Make sure you surround yourself with a community. We are always here if you guys wanted to join in. You can find us on The Praying Wife. Find something locally. You have to get immersed. Get immersed in the Word. Be diligent in how you grow in wisdom and in knowledge, because that is the only way that we can continue to move forward. Get books. Again, whatever it is, there's no excuse. There's, at this point, there is zero excuse for not knowing how to do something. It is literally a Google away. And now with AI, it's getting even crazier. But get the knowledge. But get the wisdom. Be prayerful too about the knowledge, because this just popped in my spirit. Be careful, because there are a lot of false things out there. So we have to have a spirit of discernment. How do we discern? Spend time with God and in His presence and listen for His voice. Test the spirits. The Bible tells us, test the spirits. You will know if it comes from the Lord. And so we have to make sure that we have that knowledge, that wisdom, and that understanding. And then work the gifts that you've been given. You have to work the gifts. Do not allow fear to grip you and hold you from not using what God has called you to do. If you know that you have the ability to sing, get yourself singing, okay? Go on the praise team, go on the choir, do something. Start to cultivate the gift that God gave you. If you're a dancer, whatever it is, you know the gifts. Most of us, we know what we can do very well. Even the things you do when everyone leaves and you're in your quiet time and you're just dancing all over the house, or, you know, you're just baking for the whole neighborhood. Whatever it is, there's gifts, many gifts that we've been given. Find out your spiritual gifts. What is it that God has graced you for in the kingdom of God? Remember, we're all a part of the tree. All right, of God. There's different branches. We all have different functions. We all have something different to do, but we all have something. Discover what your gifts are and don't sit on it. Don't bury it. Use it for the work of God. Use it for the building up of the kingdom of God. And then don't get unstuck. Not don't, but get unstuck and press ahead. And I said it earlier. I'll say it again. Yes, this one is always a biggie. But as I said about being intentional, forgiveness is not an option, but it is surely a choice. You have to choose to forgive and let it go. You have to choose to get yourself out of that place, out of that rut, out of that bondage. Okay, if you find yourself and you get in someone's presence and you just feel your spirit boil. You always can know. you're trying to avoid somebody. You are like going four directions that way, intentionally. Like, you will go extra steps to make sure that you don't even cross their paths. Like, you have to deal with that unforgiveness. Let that go. Give that over to God. Give that over to God. There's a scripture, and I believe Paul was talking to one of the churches. And he was talking about when someone sins and you're restoring them. He said, okay, but restore them. Make sure you discipline, but restore them lest you give the enemy a foothold, because you don't want to give the enemy a chance to come in. Because when you start having unforgiveness and all of these things that we don't deal with, the enemy now has access to you. Pastor Brooke talked about open doors. You can open doors are real. Ladies, hear me. Open doors are real, and unforgiveness is a huge, huge door. Okay. It is one of the, I would say, commands of Jesus, even as he taught us to pray, you know, and he's like, we forgive us as we forgive, not forgive us, Lord, thank you, and then help us to forgive. No. He said, forgive us as we forgive. So our forgiveness sounds like it's measured by the level of forgiveness that we give. We cannot be stuck. Again, he said, if you are coming to present something to my altar and you remember that you have something against someone, leave the gift. I don't want it. I won't even accept it. Leave it. Go handle that and then come back. Because we cannot move forward. There's like a block that unforgiveness presents when we keep it and we harbor it. So learn to let that go. Get unstuck and press ahead. Remember who you are. Beautiful, powerful woman, made in the image of God. I don't care what you look like. You guys can see me, but I can't see wherever you are across the world. But wherever you are, when you look in the mirror, when you log off here, you tell yourself, you are one beautiful looking woman. You are beautiful. God knew exactly what he was doing when he made you. Don't doubt that for a second. And not only you're beautiful, but you are a child of the Most High God, who is all powerful, all knowing. So there's nothing that he won't do. One thing I loved about Jesus when he was here, I still love him, okay? He said, as he was being tried, he's like, if I wanted, okay, I can call angels, legions of angels down here to defend me. Like he knew who he was. And yes, he was God's son. We are also God's children. We have to have the confidence of knowing who we are as children of the Most High God, and that we have angels backing us up and a Holy Spirit inside of us that empowers us to do greatness. So remember who you are. Learn to be faithful. It's the last one. And grateful where you are. We cannot experience everything God has for us if we're still stuck. I will call it as whining children sometimes. And if we're honest, and I'll say sometimes, I'm guilty. We can be a whining child. I know sometimes my kids, they grown as they are, sometimes they are whining. But God says, what do you have right now in your hands? What have I given you? How have you treated the people that I have assigned you to? How have you treated the small house that you have? How have you treated the job I did give you? Be faithful in the little things. Be grateful for where you are. Be grateful in God. And with all of these steps, let me tell you, every single one of them is possible. Every one of them, with the helper of the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us into all truth. But we are also informed in God's word that nothing is impossible for God, our Father. So do not belittle yourself. Don't think that you cannot be everything that God has called you to be. You are exactly where you are and exactly who you are for a purpose. God can take any situation and any one of you from anywhere in the world and do amazing, impossible for man things. Trust in him. Let him show you. Let him flourish you. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. And believe you me, I know that many of us may not have had that special relationship with our earthly fathers here. Perhaps your father died years ago, or recently, or when you were a little girl. Perhaps you may have even been abused, and my heart breaks for you. But I'm comforted when I think about the fact that we have a heavenly Father who promises us that he would never, and I've said this again because I really wanted to transform your mind, he will never leave you. He is there. He will never forsake you, and he loves you. He loves you. He is our gentle Father. He is our faithful Father. He is our healing Father. He is gracious and compassionate. He is a loving Father, and he wants what is best for us, and he cares for us. He cares about the hair on our body. It says if he dresses the lilies with beauty and splendor, how much more does he love you? How much more will he care for you, Jesus said. He knew us even before we were formed in our mother's womb. So today, regardless of where you are, regardless of maybe some unanswered questions you may have about where you are and why you are and why certain things may have happened or why certain things are currently happening, know that God saw it fit for you to join in today and to remind you that He is still with you, that He still loves you, and He is still in control. And I want to just take the time, because I don't want to take this time lightly, to invite those of you who may not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, those of you who need to feel His warm touch and embrace. If you're ready for your life to be lived with purpose, if you're ready to be free from bondage, I invite you today to choose Jesus Christ. You need to hear His guidance. You want to be a part of the kingdom family. If that's you, you can just start to type, "It's me, that's me." So you could just type, "That's me," in the chat. We want you to just go ahead. We want to pray for you today. We want to continue to lift you up. And at any time, as you continue to listen to this, wherever you are, if that is you, even in that moment, we can take a time to pray together, because we want you to receive that unexplainable love, that joy that only the Father can give. And so, God, I bless you. Even now in this moment, God, I ask that you will pray. God, as we pray, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will enter, God, that your Holy Spirit will intervene. God, you see every heart. You know every situation, mighty God. And we thank you for the lives of the women, oh God, that are making the decision to say, "Yes, yes, I trust in God. Yes, I give my life to God. Yes, I'm repenting. Yes, I'm coming back." God, you see those hearts. And I pray right now, God, that your Spirit will enter into them, God, that you will build them afresh, that you would just grant them their heart's desires, oh God, as they seek after you. God, may you make yourself known unto them. We thank you for their gifts, God, as they accept you, as they receive you. We thank you for a new day, for a new life, oh God, for new strength, for new joy entering into their hearts, God. Thank you for relationships being restored in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you for their lives, and we bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. I do again pray that you have been blessed. If you would like to watch the entire conference again, remember that you can visit us on youtube.com/@thepraying wife. You can also visit us on Facebook. We are at the Praying Wife Circle. The entire conference is available for you. We had dynamic speakers and just wonderful sessions of really understanding who we are in Christ and knowing the fact that though sometimes we may feel like we are under, we are not buried, but we are planted. We are planted in Christ, and there is still a work for us to do. So God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and I will see you next time.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Praying Wife Podcast. I do pray that you were blessed. Please remember that you are beautiful, you are powerful, you are made in the image of God, and you are loved. We will see you again next time.